We're back on EAA Radio. I'm Bob Collins. I have a day job where I do this for a living, and famous people come through studios and all the time, being interviewed by somebody else. And I have a rule, never to go up and gawk and ask for autographs or say you're a big fan, because that's, you know, lame. But I have to break the rule today, because I've been a Blaine Wallace fan for years. Many years. I'm a big fan. Can you sign my
book?
Thank you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I can sign your book. I'm good
Welcome.
At that.
Welcome. Blaine Wallace, how do we put this? Aviation writer, explorer, adventurer, author. What did I leave out? A columnist? You still doing The Atlantic?
I still write for The Atlantic on their website and occasionally for the magazine.
She's now in sport aviation also.
Yeah.
And she's one of the better writers that I have read. And she has a book she wrote some years ago. Oh, she also is the founder and editor of, I always get the order confused, No Map, No Guide, No Limits.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
.com.
.com.
And she's the founder and editor of that and the writer of a number of books. The one that is the latest is one she wrote a few years ago called Surviving Uncertainty, which came out in certainly uncertain times. They haven't gotten less uncertain. And you've got an updated version of it. Hey, how are you?
Right. I'm good.
It's great to see
I'm
you.
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to see you, too.
So you've gotten more certain, so you changed the book around? Or how did the...
I did Surviving Uncertainty, Taking a Hero's Journey, as an ebook when I launched No Map, No Guide, No Limits, which is website, blog, related to its goal is to inspire a more adventurous, entrepreneurial, passion-driven approach to life. And so I did this. It came out right after the crash of 2008 when the economy just tanked.
Right.
And very educated friends of mine were panicking. And they were saying, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. And I'm looking around thinking, does anyone die at the end of today? No. Well, let's ratchet it on down then, folks. It's not the end of the world. This is just a challenge, and it's, you know, okay, there can be opportunity, because if I know nothing else, I know about uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Every pilot knows about uncertainty, and then I've done some stuff because of my particular line of work writing about it, where I end up in some pretty sketchy situations that sometimes are a bit over my head. So I know what that feels like, and I also know what I've learned getting out of it. So I did the original ebook more to calm down people I knew to say it's going to be okay, and here's some tips on how to make it okay. Everything I've learned in all these adventures.
I've been doing this show this week here at Oshkosh, mostly around home builders and home building, mostly people stories as opposed to process. And at the macro level, or maybe it's the micro level, risk-taking, challenging, not having everything lined up has been a constant theme of those builders who I enjoy talking to most. And they're the ones, like me, who have taken 11 years or 39 years and survived all sorts of life's problems and got it done. And then there's another element, and it's really amazing that I ended up finishing a plane last month, by the way, because I need certainty. Does that make me a bad person?
No, you know, I mean, the odd thing is it's that, you know, adaptation to change is evolution. It's how you survive, right? Adapt mm-hmm. or die. And yet we're really bad at it. We're really uncomfortable with things that aren't certain. And I'm the same way. When I was a teenager and I was reading a book, if there was any tension in the book, I'm still mm-hmm. kind of like this with movies, action-adventure movies, you know.
Yeah.
I would skip to the end of the book to see how it turned out. Because if the hero was alive at the end of the book and everything seemed okay, then I could enjoy the journey. But I had to know how it turned out because I mm-hmm. wanted the certainty. But life doesn't go that way. And so you rail against it and you get all stressed about it, which isn't very helpful.
Yeah.
You know. And so what I've learned in places where I've been in Chad facing a bunch of armed desert warriors, or, you know, lost in the fog over the North Carolina mountains, or one of the most entertaining in retrospect, stranded on a glacier high in the French Alps in shorts and tennis shoes, you know, all by myself, alone on this very steep glacier. You don't get the option. You have to cope with it. But if you have to cope with it, you learn to cope with it, and then you learn you can cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
Pilots learn this on a certain level. Every time you take off, you're not sure. I think most pilots get to the point where they try to get better at managing the risk, at managing the uncertainty, at reducing the stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So that when the unexpected happens, you have enough margin to handle it. You also have some skills in terms of how do I handle something that comes at me when it's all uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
We all want certainty, but the thing is, Groundhog Day, right? The movie, that's my famous example, Groundhog Day. On Groundhog Day, Bill Murray had certainty. He knew exactly how that day was going to go down to the minute, and he tried to commit suicide. Yeah. He couldn't handle it. So we want certainty. Too much is a bad thing. It not only does it deaden us, but it makes life completely boring. It's the possibility of having something interesting or unexpected happen that makes it, you know, fun.
Well, I'll admit that facing a group of rebels or whatever it was in Chad will make a day interesting. But even the and I'll take on face value your assertion that you at one point craved some sort of certainty. But you got to Chad in the first place, so it had to be much earlier than that, where the point was where you said, I'm not going to be that person anymore, I'm going to be this person.
I think it's a balance. I think it's a balance. And most, I was talking to Melissa Pemberton here this week, who's an air show performer, and her husband Rex has climbed the seven peaks. You know, he's climbed Everest and done this. So we were talking about risk. And I think it's not that you come to the point where you're really okay with all the uncertainty that comes with this stuff, but balancing that is, I want to explore the world. I want to know what it, all it has. I want to understand humans. I want to see what the world has to show me. I want to see what that glacier looks like and that, you know, Alaskan island. And I want to know, how does a woman who watched her family murdered in Darfur get up the next day? Because if she can do it, surely I can do it after something, what I think is rotten, happens to me. So I want that so badly. That doesn't come with certainty and safety, complete safety. So then it's like, well, how bad do I want it? How much risk does it entail? And how do I do that math? And I think most people who do adventurous things are doing that same thing. They want this thing so badly that they agree to take on the risk to a point, and they have to figure out where that balance point is and where the risk is too high, and they say, not so much. And then to try to get through it in one piece, then you have to start approaching, how do I get through it? How do I manage the risk? How do I not panic? How do I develop the skill set to make me more able to handle the risk, handle the uncertainty, so that I can have this thing that I value so highly?
What are we slaves to when we don't do that? Are we slaves to money, economy?
I mean, I think it's
because
fear.
Certainly has to be based in something.
I actually think that it's, we become more limited in our lives, right? Now there's, I often say people build cages out of fear and then live inside them, watching life go by them outside. And I don't want to be that person. No. There are psychologists who will tell you that the less you push your fear boundaries, I'm going to take on some uncertainty, I'm going to go after that dream, I'm going to try to do this thing I love, as opposed to this thing that we think is secure. It's going to give us retirement. It's going to give us money. It's going to give us safety. And then you get laid off. Mm-hmm. And then your spouse gets killed. And then something happens and you realize, well, that didn't work so good. And then you don't have the skills to manage that. Yeah. My thought is, okay, one, you get one shot at this life, as far as I know. I don't want to sit in a cage of fear and have it go by. Not to be reckless, but the more that you expand outside, either intellectually in terms of the ideas you're willing to entertain, or just physically, the more uncertainty and new things, it improves your brain, but it also increases the area that you're comfortable in moving around in. The more that you do that, the less the change scares you. And then you can handle more of what life is going to throw at you, because change is the only constant, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to lose people in your life. Jobs are not certain. You can't control when you get that family phone call, when, you know, your kid goes off. I mean, change is here. You can try to make it, say, like, I'm going to have a steady job and I'm going to have this. I'm going to plan my life. You know, the gods laugh, right? So if you, the more that you push it, honest to goodness, like in your neurological synapse mind, you get more comfortable in a larger world. And then the more that it shifts, as the tides shift, you stay steady. Whereas people who try to keep it safe, when that doesn't work, they're really lost. I mean, they don't have the skill, and then they get really scared, and humans tend to do very bad things when they operate out of fear.
As a result of the book, and I know you do speaking as well, have you had someone come up to you and basically describe themselves pretty much as the same way I described myself earlier, and then somehow made contact with them later and found any sort of,
you know, that it's interesting because there? I've had the book was very popular when it came out. That's in right. an electronic version, which is why people were saying, do you have a print version so I can give it to somebody who's just, you know, either graduating, starting out some uncertain future, whether it's graduating, a divorce, a loss, a switch of job, a new business, whatever it is. And I said, let me think about that. And it took a while to actually get it into print, and I added some more material to it. So I have like this whole list of thousands of people who bought this book for that reason. And I don't know. It's a good, I have their email addresses.
Yeah,
so I
could
say, hey, could you tell me how has it worked out? Because now it's been, I wrote that 3 years ago originally. So now this is the revised version coming out in print, and we will have electronic versions. We don't have them quite. This one is available, you know, as of now through my website, which is lanewallace.com, which is the...
So where is that one place you were? Maybe it was Chad, maybe it was the glacier. Where is that one place you were when you thought, this is the coolest life anybody ever lived?
Okay, so I think actually it was in the U2.
Oh, up at 70,000 feet.
You know, so. I had wanted to wear a spacesuit since I was 3 years old. I wanted to be an astronaut. Girls couldn't be astronauts. And I'm not really cut out to be a real, honest-to-goodness astronaut. I'm like George Plimpton, you know. I just pop myself in for little bits to different lives, and then I pull myself out. But I was aware it's a once-in-a-lifetime. I'm never going to get back there again. And when I got to fly the U-2, I had to wear a spacesuit, which is scarier when it's real than when you're imagining it, like every adventure. But I saw the curvature of the Earth. And I saw space. And I'm there, up there, realizing how big the Earth is, and yet how fragile the atmosphere is. And I'm off my planet. I'm off my planet. Now, I'm off my planet when I fly, but I'm really off my planet. And nobody gets to do that. Nobody gets. It took 2.5 years and a 3-star general signature to make that flight happen. And the guys in the squadron, the people in the squadron made it happen. They were tail dragger pilots. They liked my tail dragger writing, and so they made it happen. That, I think, was the moment where I went, oh, my God, you know, this is... There are others that are very close. The blimp through the Alps, you know, that for different reasons. But that was, you just looked and went, I'll never be back here again. Don't forget this moment. This is spectacular. Like, whatever I had to do to get here, the winding road. I'm in a spacesuit. I wanted to do this when I was 3. Mm-hmm. It took me a lot of years. I'll never be back again, but don't forget it. This is just... You know,
don't you just want to work all of those experiences into every conversation? You know, the perfect sentence would be, you know, when I was in the U2, thinking
about
flying
when I was
seat with Harrison Ford, shortly thereafter I faced Rebels and Chad and was on a, I mean,
but you know,
really
the thing,
awesome.
here's the trade-off, right? I wanted to explore the world. I am Mac McClellan, when he hired me years ago to be a columnist at Flying Magazine, he introduced me to the readers by saying she's been an aviation writer for 10 years, a pilot for 13, and an enthusiast about life since birth. And he had not even met me face-to-face at that point. He just read some of my writing and talked to me on the phone. And it's true, right? I really wanted these things. But when people say, oh, you're so lucky, I say, do you know how much uncertainty I had to deal with to have those things? Not just in that moment. My career, my paycheck goes all over the map. I mean, I've had to figure out how to deal with, oh, this year I make money, next year I don't. How do I make that, you know, happen? The airplane came. I bought an airplane because I sold a book, and I had 2 full-time contracts for, you know, 18 months. I had no life for 18 months, literally no life. I worked 7 days a week for 1.5 years. I was very cranky the whole time. And then at the end, I had enough money to buy an airplane. So, you know, how much can you handle? I say, how bad do you want the mountain? Yeah. Like anything. How bad, if you want it badly enough, then all this uncertainty, you learn to manage it. And the good news is, the more you learn to manage it, the more you can shoot for, because it's not as hard as it was. Like anything else, if you practice it, you get better at it. So that's why the blog, that's why I have the No Map, No Guide, No Limits, because there are other people out there struggling, and I'm like, okay, we all need a little support here, you know. I like exploring some of the questions of risk. What is this math of risk? Why do we do this? Where does vision come from? What is vision? There's a post up right now about what is vision. You know, the tough questions that we ask, but also just some stories. I have this thing called I Do This Because. And if anybody thinks that they're a good guest essayist for that, I want them to contact me, because all those people who say at the dark of the night, when I think I'm crazy, because if you're doing an adventure, I don't care if you're starting a business or you're taking on Mount Everest or you're just trying to struggle as a single parent, you know, with limited resources, there's those nights where you just think, I'm crazy. This is so hard. I just want to curl up in a corner and make it go away. I want to be home on my couch. So I started this thing for people to write about in those moments of darkness when you say, why am I doing this? What's the answer that comes to your head? Those who keep going and doing it. I do this because. from their hearts, I do this because. And it is that trade-off of, I want this so badly. I want my kids to be okay. I want a career I love. I believe in the heroes and these pilots in Poland whose stories were lost. There's a woman who started her own, she's a lawyer, started her own publishing company to bring stories out of Poland of pilots who were heroes in World War II and then kind of sold down the river. You read these essays, they're so inspirational of people, why they do it. Because we all need that inspiration to say, okay, you know, you're right. I do this because. And if there is a really good, compelling reason at the end of that sentence, I do this because, that gives you the energy to keep struggling, to deal with the uncertainty, to deal with the challenges. The good news is you end up such a stronger person who's not so afraid. That's the thing, not so afraid.
Blaine Wallace's book is Surviving Uncertainty, Taking a Hero's Journey. She's also the boss behind No Map, No Guide, No Limits.
.com. And the book is available on my website, lanewallace.com.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming
Good
in.
Good to see you, too.
Blaine Wallace with us today, and we'll be back with more right after this.